I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
He entered Jericho, Jesus did, and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small of stature. He was short. So he ran on up ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. The crowd did. "He has gone to be the guest of a man who's a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold, four times as much as I've taken from them." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man," says Jesus, he's talking about himself, "for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." I'm on an errand today. I want to talk to some of you more than others. And some of you may not be Christians or may not know if you're Christians. And I've been sent on an errand today, and I want to talk to you. And I want to talk to you because Jesus wants to talk to you. Now, why Zacchaeus? And why did God want to tell you about Zacchaeus? And why did he keep the story of this day in Jesus' life in the Bible? Well, Jason just read about Paul, that he was a really, really bad man. But God saved him as an example to all the rest of how good and patient he is. Zacchaeus is the same. This story is to tell you that God will save you. Because I tell you, if he would save Zacchaeus, he will save you. And he will save you today. I want to already tell you that if God deals with you today, if in his mercy the Lord catches at your heart today, and if you know and he is speaking to you and you want to come and talk, I'm going to stay up here after the message. I asked Jason, please don't make me go down there and shake hands, because I'm not interested in most of you guys. I'm not. Not today. Okay. Number one. Before Jesus is called to you. Really, did you know there's only 3 days that really matter in your life? There's only 3 days. The day you were born. OK. Because that's the day you came in. God made you for himself. He came into this world. And the day Jesus calls you, and maybe that's today, the day Jesus calls you and says, hurry down. I've got to come into your life today. And then the last day is a day that's quickly coming on us. It's the day of judgment. Jesus is going to come. Did they tell you that? Didn't they tell you that? God has commanded all men everywhere, everyone everywhere, you to repent, because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world. That day's already decided. That day's coming. It's going to be here. You will go through it. You've been born. I hope Jesus will call you even today, and then that day will come. That day will come. And every other day in your life is like a little footnote, a little nothing compared to those 3 days. And may God not let it be that you will be born and face that last day without the day in the middle where Jesus calls you. And I shudder to think that there are people here, there are young people who are lost and could be lost for eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever. And that you're right here in this congregation. And so, I didn't want to come here and speak on this. It's not easy to speak on these things. But I am sent on an errand because the Lord loves you. And he wants now to sweep away all the obstacles, all the lies, and make something wonderful happen to you this day. Before Jesus is called to you, well, what about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus can help you understand. Well, let's look at Zacchaeus. The first thing we know about him, and you learned it in Sunday school, and a lot of people told you silly stuff about this, was that he was small. Well, maybe not in this church, but in a lot of churches, a lot of people say silly stuff about Zacchaeus being small. God made him small. He made him short. Now, for most people, we don't know why God made them tall or short or skinny like me, or not so skinny. But we do know why God made Zacchaeus short. Didn't you see? Well, if Zacchaeus hadn't been short, he wouldn't have had to go up in a tree. He would have just, if he was a big man, he would have just made his way through the crowd. He was the chief tax collector. He was an important man. Would have made his way through the crowd. And if Jesus had said to him in the crowd about 5 feet away, Zacchaeus, I got to stay in your house today, most of the people in the crowd wouldn't have heard it. They wouldn't have known that Jesus was seeking and saving the tax collector. So Jesus wanted everybody to know, so he made Zacchaeus short, so Zacchaeus would have to climb a tree. And Jesus yells up to the tree, and everybody hears it, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. And everybody knows that's why Zacchaeus was short. But Zacchaeus wasn't only short. Zacchaeus was lost. Because Jesus, once Zacchaeus became a Christian that day. Did you see it? Did you see him repenting? I'll give half my goods to the poor. He wasn't like that before. And Jesus said, salvation has come into this house today. You've been saved. All right? But Jesus said, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. In other words, I just did it. Jesus is saying, I came here today to save Zacchaeus. I came to save him because he was a lost man. Now, most of you here don't understand what it means to be lost. I took my kids on a bike trip in somewhere in France years ago, and we all had these bikes, and so I figured I wanted to go off on one trail at one point, and we got as lost as a goose. We were so lost that we were up in mountains on this trail, and the mountain went way down, and there were forest all around us, and we didn't know where we were or how to get back or how far it was until we were going to see anything we could recognize. I mean, I really got us lost. But that's not what the Bible means when it says that men are lost or Jesus came to seek the lost. Here's what it means. Now, when we say something's lost, we're telling something about not about that thing, but the person who lost it. Remember the lady who lost the coin? And she turned the house upside down to find it. The coin was lost to her. It's something about her. I had this coin, it was mine, and I don't have it anymore, and I want it. So lost people are people that belong to God, and they've gone away, and for God, they're like a lost coin. I want you back. You've been lost to me. Now, let me give you an example. Some years ago, our son went through a bad time. And he began to do really bad things. And he went away to the United States. We were living in France. He went away to university. And he was doing bad things. Bad things. He even got arrested. But during this time, there was a time when Nikki would send messages to our son, and he just wouldn't reply. Days and days and days. He never called us, and he wouldn't reply to our messages. He just gone away, and he wanted to leave everything we were about and us. And if you can picture, in the middle of the night, here's my wife in the kitchen, night after night, and my wife is crying. She's just crying. And she tells me, I feel like I've lost my son. That's what it means to be lost. If you're lost, it's something about someone else. Someone else has lost you. And my wife said, I feel like I've lost my son. I love him. I've lost him. And that's what this means. Jesus was sent because the Father's saying, I've lost you. I feel like I've lost you. I have lost you. And I want you back. Well, Zacchaeus was a lost man. He was lost to God. He was like my son. Now, fortunately, my son's not in that situation anymore. He tells us he loves us and we have a nice relationship and it's great. But you see, Zacchaeus went away from God and he didn't want to have anything more to do with God. No more relationship. And maybe that's you. Maybe you don't have a relationship with God and it doesn't bother you. It didn't bother my son. He was all into whatever he wanted to do. And maybe it doesn't bother you, but it does bother God. And Jesus comes because of that. Zacchaeus was short. Zacchaeus was lost. Zacchaeus was notoriously bad. Did you catch that in the story? It said that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. Now let me tell you, the tax collectors were Jews who, for the Roman Empire, who ruled over Israel, collected taxes. But to become a tax collector, you had to turn away from believing in God. You had to turn away from God's people. That's just the way it was because the Romans didn't like the Jewish God. And anyway, all the tax collectors were people who didn't go to the synagogue. They didn't worship. They made a clean break with God in public. Everybody knew it. They didn't mind it. I don't go to church and I don't mind anybody knowing about it. That's what kind of guy Zacchaeus was. He was also notoriously selfish. You know why he was rich? Rich, rich, rich. I mean, he's rich enough to just say, give half of everything he owns away. I wonder how many people could do that here. And then a fourth of everything he defrauded. He didn't need a lot of what he had. And that was because he had cheated a lot of people. He'd taken more taxes than he needed. Jesus said this about tax collectors. He's talking about love. And he tells people, if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? In other words, the tax collectors were notorious for being bad people. Selfish. And he was not a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. And that's why when Jesus goes to him and says, "Hurry, I must come and stay in your house today," the whole crowd mumbles. The whole crowd murmurs. Everybody's upset about it because they know how bad Zacchaeus is. And Jesus is trying to show us that he loves everyone. There is no one that he will not seek and save, and that means you. By the way, the murmurers, do you know what that shows about them? They thought they were better than Zacchaeus, but what are they? They're people who dislike Jesus and his ways. That means we're all in the same boat. You're either in the crowd murmuring, or you're Zacchaeus, who's the bad man, worse than all the others. But we're all falling short, aren't we? Will you readily admit that today? That we're all, by nature, we really don't love God. We really don't like his ways. And if that's true of you, my errand is to tell you you're the one that the Lord is seeking today, right where you are. Now, Zacchaeus was a short man. He was a lost man. He was a rich man, a tax collector, but he had a deep heart problem. Do you know how he got rich? He got rich because of a twisted heart. You see, he had this great want in his life that was so strong. Now, I don't know if any of you want something. Now, think of yourself. What, if you had to look at yourself and say, "I have a want in my life that's real strong," what would it be? I want to be popular. I want to be popular. I'll do anything to be popular. I'll even say goodbye to Jesus if it'll make me popular with my school friends. Or maybe it'd be like Zacchaeus. I want things. I just like to have things, to be able to buy things and to be rich and nice cars and nice house and all of this. And I want that so much that I'm willing to turn my back on God and give most of my devotion and desire to that. I don't know what it is, but if you're like Zacchaeus and like I've been, and like every sinner, then you have a want problem. That want problem is, if you want another way to say it, it's a get problem. Are you one of those get people? Your life is basically about what you want to get. You see what I'm saying? And that was Zacchaeus. The last thing I'll say about Zacchaeus in this way is he was very attached to this world. You see, he wanted the riches of this world. And God's already told us this world, he's damning the whole thing. The whole thing is damned. I'm not cursing because I'm using the word in the right way. This whole world, God doesn't like it as it is, this sinful world, and he's going to sweep away the whole thing. And here's someone who says, this world, this condemned world, that's all I want, is here. I'm not even giving one thought that there might be another world that's God's world. No, my world, all I want is here, not there, here. Are you like that? Are you someone who's saying that all my interest is in this present world? Well, that's being lost. Lost, completely lost to God. And God's saying, "Oh, I've lost this child." And he comes seeking you. And he's coming seeking you today. Well, that's before the call. Now, Jesus' call to you. Because he does it a lot like he did it with Zacchaeus, let's think about the call to Zacchaeus. Now, I want us to read again in the middle of the passage, in verse 5. If you'll just stop and read this again. "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.'" That's all he said, one phrase. This is amazing. Zacchaeus' whole life is wrong. Jesus comes to the town, sees him in the tree, knows who he is, calls him by his name, though he's never met him before, calls him by his name, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for I must stay in your house today. And Zacchaeus, his whole life is changed out of one phrase. One phrase from Jesus. Okay? And your life will be changed. If you don't know the Lord, it will be changed that simply by Jesus calling you. And if we can, you and I, if we can wrap our heads around that this morning and you can see it, then you'll be just like Zacchaeus and your life will never be the same. So listen closely to what I'm about to tell you about this call. Now, the first thing you need to understand is that this call of Jesus, hurry and come down because I've got to stay in your house, was not just a sort of a Airbnb thing. You know what Airbnb is? Okay, some people rent out a room in their house, and if you want to go on vacation to Bremen, then you look on the internet and you see Mr. Jones has an Airbnb room in his house, and he'll rent you that out for $30, and you could stay there. Jesus is not saying to Zacchaeus, I just need to find a place to stay. I need a hotel room, and I'm choosing your place. No, 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 no. Jesus is not just talking about a place to stay. He's talking about something much deeper, and with you too. And the reason we know this is, first of all, when a prophet came into a town in these days, he came in as God's representative. And he would stay in a place, and that place, the prophet staying at your house, meant God favoring you. Listen to this. Jesus said another time, whoever receives you, disciples, preachers that are going around, sent by Jesus, whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. Okay? Now, this is why the crowd murmured. The crowd murmured because they knew that Jesus was saying, Zacchaeus, you're not too bad for me. Nobody wants to stay at your house. Nobody wants to come for a meal at your place. Nobody wants to be with you because they think you're so bad. I'm telling you, I love you the way you are. I'm staying in your house. I want to be with you today. Starting today, I want to be with you. He's promising him love and belonging. He's saying, You've made a breach with God. You've been away from God so long, like my son was away from us. He's saying, now I'm coming to put us back together. Today, hurry down, because I must bring you and God back together today. Zacchaeus understood him to say that, didn't he? Because Zacchaeus says, I'm going to give away half of my goods. You don't give away half of your goods because somebody came to stay in your Airbnb one night. No, he understood that Jesus was saying, and Jesus himself, he said, today salvation has come into this house. He knew he was offering salvation by singling Zacchaeus out and saying, let me in. Let me in today. Hurry on. So that's the first thing. It was more than just a simple call to stay in his house. It was a call now to let me into your life. One phrase Jesus says to you today, let me, hurry now, let me in. For I want to stay in your life this day. If you know that, and this is what Revelation tells us, Jesus says, behold, I am knocking at the door. And if anyone hears my voice and opens a door, I will come into him, and I will fellowship with him and him with me. And this is what the Lord is saying to you today. Now, let me just tell you three other quick things about this call, and then we'll wrap this up, okay? But you have to understand this to know that Jesus is calling you. First of all, it's a divine call. This is God. It's not me. It's not one of your pastors who told me to say this. This is God's message to you. through the Lord Jesus. Now, Zacchaeus knew it was God. You know how he knew it was God? Somebody comes up to him who's never seen him, never been in his town, and he says, "Zacchaeus." And Zacchaeus gets a shiver that goes all down him. And he realizes that the great prophet that he had heard about, the prophet of God, who's sent by God, was now being sent by God to him. When someone who can't know your name unless God tells him says to you, "Zacchaeus, come down," you know, oh, God is calling me. And this is what's happening to you. This was left in the scripture so that you know, even though I don't know your name, I'm not Jesus, and I can't say it, you must know that God is calling you by your name. Whether it's Zachary or Ben or Bob or John or Jim or Julie or Jane or whatever it is. Whatever your name is, the Lord Jesus knows you. And he's calling you by name. And he's saying, "I must stay in your life." The second thing of those three things is that it was a free and a simple call. Wasn't it so simple? I just look at this and I think about this day and I say, whoa, how could it be? This one phrase, this one easy thing, "Zacchaeus, hurry down, I must stay in your house." That's all it took. You see, Zacchaeus didn't have to become a better man. He didn't have to become an honest man. He didn't have to not be a lost man and not be a sinner. Jesus said to him, when he's up in that tree, so sinful and so wretched, he says, "Come down right here, right now, right like you are. You don't have to change because I'm the one who brings change." Do you understand that? Jesus says, "Don't try to love me. Don't try to have a desire for God. Don't think you can't come to Jesus until you've got a desire for God." Jesus brings, only when Jesus comes in will you have a desire for God. You see? You see, Jesus comes into Zacchaeus' house. He says, "I love you, I favor you, nobody else likes you. God loves you and he wants into your life today." And Zacchaeus, he says, "Oh, God loves me. Okay." And he receives Jesus gladly. And that's when he starts loving Jesus, not before. God's not asking you to be a Christian before you become a Christian. The call is so simple. Whoever you are, whatever you're like right now, the Lord says, "I will do all of that stuff. Your only concern is with me and my call that I want to be in your life because I love you." That's your only concern. Do you know what? Jesus says not one word to him about sin. Get that one. Did he say anything to him about being a frauder or a rich man and he shouldn't have been that rich and he didn't care about anybody and everybody? He said not one word. And do you know why? Because the gospel, in a very real sense, is not a message about sin. Sometimes we have to talk to people about sin so they'll listen to the gospel. But the gospel is good news, and it says to you, all Jesus wants to say to you is, right where you are in your sin, let me in. It's about Jesus. It's not about coming and scolding you. Oh, you're not a Christian, and oh, you're not this, and oh, you're not that. That's the devil who wants you to think that the gospel is that. It's not the gospel. Jesus does not come scolding, he comes loving. And he wants you to know the same thing as Zacchaeus. He says, all I want you to know, forget about the rest, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus knew he was a sinner, and so do you. And Jesus says, now forget about it. Let me in, I must stay with you. Right here and right now. Oh, when I understood that, my life was changed in a flash, one night. And that's the Lord's call to you. The last thing I've got to tell you, it's a lordly call. You know, if I went up to somebody in Bremen in the center of town and said, sir, I must stay at your house tonight. Hurry, get into your car. Come on, drive on to your house. I must stay at your house tonight. The guy would say, who do you think you are? You can't requisition my house. You can't expropriate my house. You see, Jesus comes to Zacchaeus as Lord. He says, hurry down. I must stay in your house today. It's a lordship of love, because he's wanting to bring salvation. I'm going to love you and I'm going to save you. Now open the door to my love. But isn't it wonderful? You know, some people think salvation is a thing where all it is about me getting everything I need. I'm going to be saved. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Yeah, but it's also Jesus gives you all, but he demands all also. He says, I'm coming as Lord. I'm coming to give you everything. Everything I will give you. Eternal life, forgiveness, reconciliation. I've done it all. It's all yours. And now I'm asking all. I am Lord. You see, things can't happen on Zacchaeus' terms. He's one of those guys that's used to everything happening on his terms. Chief tax collector, you know, and he tells people when I'm coming by to get your taxes and you better be there. And everything happens the way I want. Maybe everything's happened the way you want and you like things to happen. But I'll tell you this, that's not the way things happen with Jesus. He comes with such love toward you, but that love comes at his timing. And his timing is today. And there are some young people that think, I'm going to come to Jesus when I'm ready. No one has ever come to Jesus in the world when they were ready. No one. No one has ever established the terms and said, Jesus, I'll come to you on my terms. When I'm ready, I'll come to you. As if I'm the Lord and Jesus has to. No. Jesus comes to you and you're not ready. You're up in a tree and you got to come down. All right? But this is the way it happens. This is the goodness of it. That now you quit believing that you're the one who sets the terms. And you yield and you bend and you say, oh Lord, if you're saying to me, I must come and love and save you, then who am I to say no? I bend and I bow. I'll bow to that sort of a Lord. Can you really let Jesus die on a cross for you, bowed underneath your sins, and say you don't have to give him anything? You don't have to give up. You don't have to bend. You don't have to bow. Of course not. Zacchaeus was glad once he understood the Lord's love and grace. He said he hurried down. He didn't cut. You don't respond to Jesus' call by saying yes. You respond to Jesus' call by saying yes, urgently. That's how you come. And that brings me to this next point, your response to the call of Jesus. Well, it is to hurry now. And I want to plead with you, please, that you be like Zacchaeus, because that's the only way to be saved. When Jesus comes and he says to you, hurry, come down, it's in your house I must stay, then you must accept those terms. Accept that the Lord's coming to you in that way. Accept that you were not ready this morning for that. But he's taken you off guard. You needed to be taken off guard. And now, today, even this morning, receive him joyfully. As it says, Zacchaeus came down, he hurried, and he received him joyfully. What Jesus said I had to do, I did it. Because I realized he was coming to love me. He was coming to save me forever. And you receive him in the way he comes to you. You know, if the electrician comes to my house as an electrician, then I receive him as an electrician. I don't come in and say, hey, can you fix my plumbing? You know, he's coming in to fix my electricity. That's why I receive him as an electrician. And when Jesus comes to you, he comes to you as a savior. He comes to you to reconcile you, to forgive you, to be your savior and your shepherd and your Lord and your friend. And this is the way you receive him. You receive him in the way he comes. And really, it's just by saying, okay, Lord, my door, it's been shut. I've shut it. I locked it shut against you. And now I've heard your voice. I've heard your call. You've said to me, I was up in the tree, and I know you're saying to me, now's the time. Open the door. I must be in your life because I love you. Well, if you respond to that call today, what will happen? Well, you'll be like Zacchaeus. It'll be a complete change. It's amazing the change in Zacchaeus. I mean, I can't imagine what all the crowd thought. You know, they're hearing Zacchaeus say, I'm going to give half of my stuff to the poor. And if any one of you, and they're all there to hear it, because now he's committed himself. If I've defrauded any of you people, I'll give you back four times what I took from you. He's not longer the get man. What I want, these riches and this one. It's now the man who's loved by God, who knows God, and Christ is in his life. And he doesn't need to hold on to other stuff. And he wants to be like, well, God has given him, and God has healed him, and God has restored him, and he wants to restore others and heal them and help them. And he becomes beautiful instead of ugly. He was a very ugly man, but now he's becoming beautiful. And so will you. What a beautiful life of knowing that you know God, knowing that you've let the Lord in, and you're forgiven, and you have eternal life, and you'll feel like helping everybody. You'll be freed. May the Lord give you his grace today. And as I said, if there's anyone here who senses that now the Lord Jesus is knocking at your door and saying, hurry, for I must come today. If you want to talk, the thing you really need to do is just say in your heart right now, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come right in. And the show's over. And life begins. If, however, you do want to talk to one of your pastors or to me, I'm going to just stay up here in the front and would love to talk with you if you have some questions or concerns about anything to do with coming to Jesus. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you that you've come to seek and to save the lost, and that you turn the house upside down to find these lost coins that we are. You've been willing to come from heaven to earth to go from your majesty as God to be a man and a servant and a man on a cross, to lose everything that we might not be lost anymore to you. How we bless you for coming after us in such love and telling us, hurry and come down. I've got to be once again in your life. And we pray for all those who need to receive Jesus today. We pray, O God of salvation, that your Spirit would now unleash and free the captives. In Jesus' name, amen.